Good morning and welcome to Front Row Center, the Montana Public Radio Weekly Arts Interview. I'm Michael Marsalek. I'm speaking with a couple from Ireland today. Simon O'Dwyer and his wife Maria Cullen O'Dwyer are in Montana. I'll be speaking with Simon a bit about events. They'll be presenting the first President's Lecture Series presentation of the fall at the Denison Theater at the University of Montana in Missoula. The event is part of a series of Irish music concerts and events and lectures, really an interesting angle in Irish music that you folks have specialized in, and music archaeology of sorts. Talk a little bit about what you do with these ancient instruments and where the interest began.
We go into museums and we look at ancient instruments, anything more than 1,000 years old. Then we measure them up and work out what they're made of and how they were made. And then we make accurate reproductions. And then we explore them to see what can be played on them, what sounds they have, what key they're in. That gives us an idea of what they may have been used for and in what sort of situations they may have been played.
A lot of Irish music has been exported, come to the United States, many songs, certainly some of that musical history. But I think the older instruments is something that hasn't really been talked about that much.
Oh, that would be the case. When we started working about 25 years ago, when we first started doing this, nobody knew anything much about the ancient instruments anywhere. It's really quite a new discipline in both music and archaeology. So we were starting with a clean sheet. And because Irish music today, our tradition is so strong, that tends to be what people identify as Irish music, pure and simple. But Irish music that we have today is really only 500 years old that we know of. But of course, it must have had earlier origins because we have the instruments.
Right. So talk about some of these instruments and a little bit of that history. I found it very fascinating that there were early horns, for example, that were perhaps similar to the Australian didgeridoo or blowing of tubes, early membranophones and drums that were certainly precursors to other drums that are used. Fascinating.
Our drum called the Bawron is basically a frame drum, which is a circular rim of wood with a skin attached on one side. Now, we don't know if that goes back into antiquity in Ireland because we don't have any very ancient ones. But on the other side, frame drums are common throughout the world. You have them here in a lot of your Native American cultures, frame drums are used, and you'll find them a lot in Africa and in Asia. It's a fair bet that they were played in Ireland. But as regards the tubes and the wind instruments, we have a huge collection of ancient Bronze Age and Iron Age horns and trumpets that we can look at directly and make exact reproductions of. And a lot of them are complete, and some of them can be played still.
Talk about the cultural significance of some of these early horns. Is it similar, as ethnomusicologists have studied around the world, where it became part of the culture, was used in many kinds of celebrations and different things that would happen in a community?
That's the real question as to what were instruments used for. In the Bronze Age, as an example, we have the cast bronze horns. Now, the only reality from those that we can say for definite is that they're beautifully made and they're very musically accurate, and also that they were very, very expensive to make in their time, very difficult to make, and huge amounts of Bronze Age metalworking technology went into them, to such an extent that the casting that was involved in making them is still unsurpassed today. And we are still trying to make an original, a new instrument to the same level of perfection that bronze casters achieved 3,000 years ago, which is really quite something.
So do you come from a musical background primarily or a metalworking background? Where did the love of these two things come together?
I suppose I come from a musical background. My father was a professional bass baritone in both Irish ballads in the 1950s, and then he trained in classical singing. My mother loves music and she sings. So really that's where I got the musical end of it. I suppose I had to learn about bronze casting and metallurgy and archaeology and anthropology when I first got interested in the instruments. Mm-hmm. I had to learn all that from nothing, which was a very interesting angle to come from.
I know that you do presentations in various kinds of things. You've been in Montana doing presentations here, talking about some of the history, demonstrating and sharing some of the music. Why is it important, do you think, to talk about and to bring back, if you will, some of these ancient instruments?
Well, there's two sides to that. You can say it's important because they are part of our history and prehistory, not just in Ireland, but around the world. The other thing is that they have new things to offer us. One particular one is that we have discovered that you can play overtones on ancient horns. Now, normally overtones are only used in singing disciplines from the Far East, Tibet, Nepal, Tuva. You can hear singing traditions where they will sing a drone, like a carrier, and then they use the overtones, like our high notes, that they can produce over the carrier. That is the tune. It's done by the use of the tongue in the mouth and the positioning, and it's a very difficult thing to do. But we have discovered that you can do exactly the same thing with musical instruments. And it has given us a completely new colour in acoustic music. Now, that hasn't happened for centuries, that suddenly a brand new colour emerges in acoustic music that composers can go to and say, well, I want to incorporate that in my sound with the orchestra, or jazz players can go and say, we'd like that, or Irish traditional musicians can have it as an accompaniment to singing or to slow airs or to jigs and reels.
I noticed that you've been exploring this and doing this work for a long time. Can you talk about the kinds of collaborations that you've already done with other musicians, even in the academic world? And I think it's interesting because it seems that there's a pretty broad interest in sharing the older instruments, but also in figuring out ways to make it contemporarily interesting and to share it to younger audiences, right?
Well, I suppose for us, the real ambition is to bring instruments that are 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years old back to life and to get them played again in the living tradition, because that's a direct connection over thousands of years, and that gives us a feel for our ancestry and our past and where we belong. I mean, there is no future unless you have your present and your past. A lot of people forget that. You know, you're sitting in a pub in Galway and you're surrounded by melody musicians who are playing instruments from all over the world, mandolins and bouzoukis and guitars and squeeze boxes, which are all foreign instruments to Ireland, basically. But they might have flutes, which are German, and the illan pipes would be Irish and the whistle is Irish. And then you're sitting there playing with them with a Bronze Age horn reproduction of a 3,000-year-old instrument. And suddenly that gives the whole thing a whole new dimension of presence and belonging. When you look at ancient cultures, like you mentioned Aboriginal Australia and the didgeridoo playing, we were there as a band and we joined up with two didgeridoo players from Australia and we toured around it. An Aboriginal player by the name of Alan Dargan, who sadly has passed on, and Phil Cunningham, who's of Irish roots, but he's a great didgeridoo player. And we toured around Australia and that was just so interesting because we got direct access to the Aboriginal culture of Australia. And you're talking about a culture that's 40,000 years old, minimum. And we were listening to tunes that they were playing and songs that they were singing, who knows how old they were. And their certainty of place was just a joy to behold. It was a lesson to us going back to Ireland. We do belong where we are.
I'm going to ask you to play a little tune for us today as we close the interview. Can you describe the horn that you will play here?
The one I brought with me is a reproduction of an Iron Age trumpet. In Ireland, it's called the Lough na Shéid trumpet, and it's on display in the National Museum in Dublin. If you're there, you can go and see it. And it's made of sheet bronze, and it's Celtic. The Iron Age civilization, it dates around 200 years before Christ. There were four of them found together in a place called Lough na Shéid, which is a small lake beside a mound, which was the high seat of Ulster at that time, a place called Abhainn Maca, which is just outside Armagh City. If anybody's familiar with the great Irish legends, one of our great heroes was a man called Cú Chulainn. He lived there. It's contemporary with him. If he did actually live, and we think he did, then he was very familiar with the sounds of these instruments. And the one we have was reproduced in Nepal this year, so we've only just received it. And we went out there to Nepal to look at curved trumpet players there in their tradition because they have a living tradition. So we went out there to see, could we find out anything about their tradition which might help us understand more what was going on in our tradition. And we found loads of information that really helped us to understand more where it is coming from in Ireland 2,000 years ago.
So this is a curved horn about 6 feet long, accompanied with the Irish drum, the Boron.
Yeah, we'd call it the Montana March.
There you go. I've been speaking with Simon O'Dwyer today. He and his wife, Maria Cullen O'Dwyer, have been in Montana presenting a number of lectures as part of the President's Lecture Series in Missoula and in Butte. Their website is ancientmusicireland.com, and you can see many photographs of the instruments and get more information there. There are recordings available and much more. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you.